Capricorn. Connect. People. Potential. Technology.
Co-founder and chief commercial officer at Circular, he has made it his mission to simplify selling and promoting a more sustainable circular economy. By leveraging AI and smart technology, he aims to make it easier for people to give their beloved items a second life, thereby reducing waste and creating value for individuals, businesses, and the planet. Maro Schlauer took the leap from a secure corporate job into the jungle of the startup world. Maro Schlauer, welcome to the Capricorn Connect podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Jacob.
Maros, I would like to start the podcast episode with the question, what was the first encounter that you had in your life with the digital world? Do you remember that?
Yes, that has been a long time ago, but I would say I was about the age of 5 or 6, was when my parents bought me a Sega console. Back then, it felt to me like pure magic, right, as a small kid playing these cool games. But when I reflect about it nowadays with some retrospective, what I really enjoyed was also what value it created around it. It made me to connect with more people. We were playing the games together with other kids. We were exchanging the consoles, the discs, talking about how we can cheat some game. So, and I think that's a real value of the technology. It's just what it creates beyond this connection to people, the connection to your environment and to the others.
So connecting your environment with other people, at the same time entertainment and the good feeling that it brings.
Exactly. Yeah, it also builds somehow a community. Mm.
Maros, you left a pretty good job to enter the startup world, to become an entrepreneur and founder. What was your motivation?
Together with my co-founder Christian, we looked at the current way how the society works, and we said, like, hey, it's really easy nowadays to consume things and to buy things, right? You just go on Amazon or any other e-commerce platform, and basically you do a couple of clicks, and tomorrow the package is at your doorstep. And it's a very smooth, convenient experience. But what's really difficult is then actually to sell those things again. You have some peer-to-peer marketplaces, but it's a lot of struggle. You need to create the ad, you need to take pictures, you need to think about the price, you need to chat with all those people, then you have to deal with the no-shows, and then you can start all over again. And we said, hey, how we can make the selling experience as good as the buying experience? How can we totally simplify it? And that's how we came with the idea of Circular, which it's really to make the selling as easy as buying. We see nowadays that it's about 60% of the people are willing to buy used things, but only about 20% of the people are actually selling things. And what we want to do is we want to close this gap, and we want to match this supply and demand between those two groups.
So match the supply and the demand between buyers and sellers. Have you already had certain testing experience? Because I believe you're early stage at the moment.
Correct. Mm-hmm. We are early stage, but we are fully operational. Mm-hmm. We have already like several hundreds of users, many hundreds of transactions completed. So it has been tested in the market. Users love it so far. We are working with a number of business partners as well, because that was the same feedback what we got from the business partners operating in this re-commerce sphere. It's, hey, we could actually get way more things, we could sell way more things, but we just don't have enough of supply of the used goods. And again, it's just because it's a very tedious process.
And when the company is growing, like your company at the moment at Circular, every founder and every manager is confronted with a challenge of scaling the company. What are the challenges that you have experienced so far?
Yeah. So for us at Circular, I think the main challenge is the users, getting the users' attention. The whole e-commerce space is extremely crowded. There are like so many other companies, apps, platforms fighting for the attention of users. And I think to get these attentions and convince them that your product is something new and something what brings them actual value and let them to really try it and test it out is not that easy. The second challenge I would see more in the operational sphere We are running a highly complex business. We want to simplify the user experience as much as possible, but that makes it fairly complex on the back end for us, like speaking of logistics, potential warehousing, potential returns, and so on. So how we are going to scale this this type of business where you make it ultra convenient for the user, but you have to operate fairly heavy backbone environment to run this.
So having a complex business model and then simplifying it for the customer, especially
making it financially feasible, right? It's that's what a lot of investors tell us. You know, like it's an amazing idea, and it's we see a great value in it. Can you actually make it financially viable?
So the devil, the detail is a problem here, right?
There are many devils and many details.
And then also the attention. That's also quite important nowadays in this crowded market as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Attention. And then last but not least, also I think most founders facing the issues of funding. So you need to be able to convince the investors of your idea because depends a bit on the sector. But if you want to scale your company, we are going to need funding to get to the users and to really like bring the product to the larger market.
Talking about funding, when do you know what kind of investors you need? Would you rather go at the beginning for the bootstrapping, organic growth, or already at the beginning maybe take on an external investors? What is your advice there?
For us, it was very crucial to test and bring the idea to the market as soon as possible. And therefore, what we did first, we went to do some so-called FFF round. It's called Friends, Family, and Fools. And it's mainly the people who really believe in you and who believe in you as a potential founder or as a personality who can pull off some idea. Because you really don't have any data yet. You don't have any data to convince investors, yeah, this idea is financially viable. You haven't tested it yet. But you already need some initial first funding to go out to the market. And therefore, I think this is very crucial. And after, when you have already gained some traction in the market and you have real data, which based on which you can build a convincing story, then you can go and start speaking to larger investors. Whether you can bootstrap or not depends a bit on your business model. There are business models which are a bit less capital heavy. Maybe to give an example, if you have an SaaS company and you manage to build a good piece of product, piece of software with your initial funding, then you can resell it with a fairly low cost. On the other hand, if you are running an e-commerce company or a logistics company or a real estate company, you are going to need to front all the costs before you get the returns and the revenue back. And to scale, you are going to need larger funding from institutional investors.
So it really depends also on the situation. At the beginning, maybe start with your own capital, with also friends' money. And then once you have a track record, if you really want to scale, then get some external investors. And then you can have a growth in the company.
Absolutely. And it often becomes sort of a chicken and egg problem. When you speak to the investors, they are going to tell you, you need to show us more traction. But in order to show the traction, you are going to need more investing, right? And then I think it just comes to your hard work. It's a combination of numbers game and of the network and introductions you can get and the convincing story you can build that you can convince a few investors. You can grow it a bit, and then you can convince more investors, and then more investors, and at some point
get a momentum going.
The investors who are going to try to convince you.
Okay, well, yeah, we're not there yet, I suppose, but soon we'll get there. Maros, I would like to talk about talent attraction as well. How can a company like yourself, like Circular, attract talent, especially if you don't have a big name like Google, Microsoft? Or other big names, big tech names, how can you get good talent that helps you grow also into the company?
Yes. I believe you just need to be aware of what's your unique proposition. You cannot beat everyone. You cannot appeal to everyone. I think there are a lot of very smart, very talented people who want to work for very different types of companies. Some want to work maybe for more corporate jobs. Some want to work for a startup. Some might want to work for NGO and so on. So you really kind of have to be averse first to whom you want to appeal. And then you just need to be aware of who is potentially your competition and what can you offer what your competition cannot offer. And I believe for us as a startup, it's mainly about our vision. I believe that we have a story and a mission which no other company has. I believe that we have a very unique team which no one else has. And I believe we can create an environment for people which the other companies don't. And in my opinion, that's also what the potential candidates are going to be looking at if they are joining an early stage startup. It's, can I align myself with the mission? Can I see myself working with these people, with these co-founders? And do I believe that they create an environment for me in which I can thrive and in which I can grow? Mm-hmm.
So having a compelling mission, a great team, inspiring team is important. And how can you retain then also this talent if you have talent that you want to retain? Yeah.
To be honest, I think it's the same things because if you keep these fundamentals right, if you keep being trustful to your mission, and if you keep your team and if you can still keep the right environment, mm-hmm. I don't see that people would need to leave. Therefore, I think these two topics are very closely related.
Mm-hmm. And how can candidates, now if you take the perspective of a candidate, how can a candidate stay attractive in this very competitive working environment, market, job market?
Yeah. I think nowadays it became much more about being adaptable to change and being able to learn. We see that compared to the past, people, or in general, every employee nowadays can have multiple careers. You don't need to focus only on one thing and do that for the rest of your life. I believe that when people are willing to learn and are able to learn fast, they can beat the people with the experience. So to give like maybe some concrete example, if we look at a topic of AI and coding, I believe if someone is smart in the way how they use the AI nowadays and how that can facilitate building the code and the code quality, they can easily outperform a person who relies purely on the manual coding as they have done in the past maybe 10, 15 years. So even though they might have a better experience or the more of the experience, the person who is just coming to the field might still beat them because they are using the newest technologies and the newest tools. And we are living in a very fast evolving world. And I think that people who can evolve with this world are going to have the edge ahead of the people who are just relying on their experience.
So flexibility is key, agility, adapting very fast and applying this latest technology into your work environment.
Exactly.
And it's not like one specialized position anymore. You have multiple careers and different types of positions also that you have to get used to.
Yeah, I think like there still might be some fields where you have your specialized position. I don't want to take that away. I think like there are going to be some jobs which are not going to change that much, but there is a lot of jobs which are changing completely with the new technology, with AI. And therefore, I believe you have to be aware of how is your field being impacted by all the changes around you.
Also talking about this topic, that would be my next question. AI is changing the world. What kind of jobs do you think will disappear? What kind of jobs will stay? And what kind of jobs will be newly created? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I think most people would agree nowadays that the jobs which are slowly disappearing, and we already see this happening, are the very the ones which are very reliant on the manual repetitive tasks. So if it's like about typing some data into a system, or a very simple customer service where you just like have to reply to the same inquiries, all these type of jobs are probably going to be automated if they haven't been automated yet. Then the second category of the jobs is going to be the ones which are going to change but still going to stay. There are the jobs which need like creativity, which need relationship building to others. These jobs are going to change because you can leverage the AI to become much faster, to become more precise, to become better. But the job is going to stay there. And then I believe there are going to be jobs which we don't really have yet, and they are going to appear now because of the race of AI, and that's everything what's maybe like to give some examples around building the AI agent models, or for us, like for example, looking at a circular, we could use someone who is like a logistic expert with the AI now, which could completely like change the field. So I would say these are the three main changes, I think.
Interesting. Also have some final questions for you more on a personal level, Maos, if it's okay with you. What is your superpower, the area that you are maybe a little bit better than other people? Do you have any idea? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say for me it's persistence. And it comes from just my personal history that I love mountains. I love being outdoors. I love endurance sports. I used to run a lot, also including like very long distance running, ultra running, mountaineering, and it kind of taught me like of this ability to push through, even though sometimes it's not easy, and keep the goal in mind. But at the same time, I would say like also taught me to enjoy the process. I think it's something that we shouldn't forget. You know, we shouldn't just like go for some goal and hate the journey there. And that's what I love, for example, about climbing. I actually enjoyed the climbing itself, the route, more than standing at the top.
Really?
That was the fun part, I would say, like being in the wall and like figuring it out. And then being at the top is kind of like a cherry on the top of the cake. I would be happy even if I would like have to come back 50 meters from the top if that journey was fun.
Well, that can also help you in your entrepreneurial journey. That's definitely something. Persistence, exactly. Very important.
Especially for startups, I think. You just have to like push hard for very long.
Absolutely. Is there any particularly, let's say, famous person that you admire or a trait that this person has?
Mm-hmm. I would say Warren Buffett for me, personally. I believe he has a very unique ability to stay calm, focused, and ignore all the noise around, especially and knows how to play the very long game. And if I would apply this also to current my startup and to my personal life, there is so much different demands you are going to get. Yeah, there are different demands you are going to get from different users, from different investors, from different advisors. And instead of chasing all these different features and different requirements and so on, you need to be able to stay focused on what you are actually like, what's your main goal here, to stay what is the real value you are providing, and really be focused on that.
Saying no to things.
Say no to things, and just ignore sometimes all the noise around you and all the hypes which are constantly coming up and then going away, and then something new is coming up and going away, and really focus on the fundamentals. What's the fundamental value of what you are building?
So fundamental value and ignoring the noise.
Exactly. Plus, what I also like a lot about him is how he can explain complex ideas in a very simple terms. And I think that's nowadays, again, we are living in a world which is getting more and more complicated, and your attention is being grabbed by like so many different distractions. So being able to explain very complex things in a very simple words, it's an extremely valuable skill, I believe.
Yeah, and it's necessary, especially if you have complex solutions you want to explain to customers.
Indeed.
Or investors, for example.
Exactly.
Is there a guiding principle, a motto, a credo you live by in your life?
Yeah, for me, it's execution beats perfection.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think like also coming from a consulting before, what I have seen a lot was just sitting around in the working on the slides until they are like 100% right, you know, and making everything exactly nice as it should be. For me, like especially now living in a startup world, like this, if I would work like this, we would never produce anything. We would never go out with any product. I think if I would be like sitting still now, I would be in front of the whiteboard and we would still like adding new nice features. So I think it's crucial just to try things out, go to the market, get the real data, talk to users, have something real in the hand, and then you can change and pivot. Otherwise, you're just going to spend time working on a perfect solution. And until the perfect solution is ready, the market has changed already. And you can start all over.
So being too perfectionist can be also disadvantaged in that environment.
Absolutely. And I don't mean this like being now just sloppy and creating like something half-baked. I think that the product should still be good enough. But I think like kind of 80-20, you shouldn't try to make 100%.
Maros, final question. How will AI improve your life in 2 years?
I will answer this a bit from the perspective of my Circular and what I'm currently dealing with there. It's we still have a lot of manual work we are doing, and these ones I hope these tasks are gonna be gone in several years. It's gonna be a long journey, especially everything what's happening on the back end, right? It's like very easy. Everything was on the front end for the users, but all the matching of the products to the right partners and funding what are the real prices at the partners and updating all these databases and so on, like that's currently very time consuming for us as well as for the partners. And I believe that once the AI capability goes a bit farther, we are going to be fully able to automatize all this stuff.
Very good. Maros Lauer, Chief Commercial Officer, co-founder at Circular. I really enjoyed this conversation with you. I wish you all the best for Circular, your company, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you for having me here, Jake. It was a pleasure.
Capricorn, connect. People, potential, technology.